Bibles up, if you would, the book of Hebrews, chapter number 10 this morning. Hebrews chapter number 10. The church. Why do we gather? And what's the purpose in being here even this morning? Now, you've heard me tell several times over and over and over again, I did not grow up in the church. Didn't go to church maybe twice in 21 years, so I have no idea what it meant to grow up from the nursery all the way up, youth group and everything else, going to a church. But in reality this morning, there's been times since I've been saved and serving God these years that I've not wanted to go to church. Tired, wore out, angry, frustrated, all these different excuses and reasons that I didn't want to go to church, but mostly the biggest reason is because I was guilty. Knowing that if I would go, that I would hear something that would convict my heart and tell me that, hey, I need to be walking with the Lord closer. Let me just throw this out there to you this morning, help you understand something, help you understand my heart. My goal as your pastor is not to make you feel guilty. My goal is not to somehow try to get you to feel bad, and so I guess I got to go to church because if I don't show up, Brother Brian's going to call me and harass me and make me feel really bad, so I guess I'll just go to keep him off my back. See, if that's the whole reason you're coming, then you're coming for the wrong reason. The church is actually you. You are the church. In just a second, I'm going to show you scripture from 1 Corinthians that talks about that. This building that we worship in is just a building. This is the place where the church meets. We are the body of believers that claim Victory Baptist Church as the place that we gather. So, you're at church, but you are the church. And when then you leave here today, eventually about 2 o'clock this afternoon, then some nervous laughter. When you leave here today, then you still are the church. You are still at church. See, brothers and sisters, church is not an event. Church is a life. Church is a life. Look at Hebrews chapter number 10 with me this morning. Verse number 19, we're going to start there. Hebrews chapter number 10, verse number 19. The writer of Hebrews is helping the people he's writing his letter to understand how important Christ really is. Verse number 19, he says this, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh." In the Old Testament times, they would bring a sacrifice to the temple. It was the temple in Jerusalem. And they would bring a sacrifice, an animal, a dove, a lamb, a bull. They would bring this sacrifice, this animal, to the high priest. The high priest would cut its throat, spill the blood, and then put it on the altar and represent the people to God. Now, there was a place called the Holy of Holies in the temple. It was maybe as big as this, maybe a little bit bigger. And from the top to the bottom was a gigantic veil, gigantic curtain, if you want to look at it that way. Very ornate. In the Old Testament, it described to Moses how to construct this veil. And it went and took years and lots of money to construct this veil. Very heavy cloth. And the only person that could walk behind the veil was the high priest. And he would go behind the veil and he would present the blood of an animal on the behalf of the people. So he would take that blood and he would pour the blood onto the altar. And he would do that once a year. Every year he had to do that to purge the sins of the people. But then it says here in verse number 19, it says this, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus." Only the high priest before Jesus died could go into the Holy of Holies. Now we have the boldness, the confidence that we get to enter into the presence of God, not because we're presenting blood of an animal, but because we're presenting the blood of Jesus Christ, which has covered us. And it's not just once a year. We go into God's presence, which the Holy of Holies represented. We go into God's presence every single moment. See, here's the amazing things for us to understand. You didn't just come into God's presence because you came in those back doors this morning. God's presence goes with you everywhere if Jesus Christ is your Savior. See, being holy is not just on Sunday morning from 11 o'clock to 12 o'clock. Being holy is 24/7, seven days a week, 365 days a year, and on leap year, 366. It's living a life that brings glory to God. But he says here, listen, you have the boldness now to come into the Holy of Holies by the blood of Christ. But look what it says in verse 20, by a new and living way that he has consecrated for us. He's made the way for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. His death made it possible for us to go. The Bible says that when Jesus died on the cross that day, the veil, the curtain, it ripped in half from the top to the bottom. Not from the bottom to the top, but from the top to the bottom. And I can just see the priests that were standing there that day. And as Christ died on the cross, all of a sudden this gigantic curtain just rips in half. And I'm sure the priests were wondering, what is going on? You know why it ripped? Because Jesus became the sacrifice. His body became the veil. His body is the one that represented the death for our sins. So when you come and we gather on Sunday mornings together, on Wednesday nights, or whenever we gather together, you're not just showing up to check a block off and say, okay, God, I came to church, you see me, please love me now. No, we come to worship God together, singing his praises. We get to give, we get to fellowship. All of this is worship. The music is not just worship. The whole time together should be worship. See, we've got it set in our mind that music is worship only. That's what's being taught nowadays. As long as we have music, then no, that's just part of worship. All right, now look what else it says here. Because of this, we have a high priest over the house of God. Let us draw near. Let us get close to this with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Because of what Christ has done, hold on to what he has done for you. Hold fast to it. Hold fast. You know what that means? Tightly cling. Come here, Tanner, let me show. I'm going to demonstrate this to you. Tanner gets all kinds of activity today. Hold fast means this. Your whiskers are... Hold fast means tightly squeeze and don't let go. Holding fast to what Jesus Christ has done. When we hold fast to Christ, he never lets us go. So coming to church is not just about clicking a box or saying, God, see me. It's all about holding fast to what God has done for us. Worshiping him because of what he's done for us. So it says in verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Why? For he is faithful that promised. Don't waver. Now, what does that mean? Don't doubt. But if in reality, if we were all honest this morning, and I'm being honest with you this morning, there's times that I doubt. There's times that I really wonder, is it really true? But it says, hold fast to the promise that God has made to you through Jesus Christ. In the good times, when everything is going well and you've got enough money and your wealth and your health is good and everybody's getting along in your family and everything's going great, wow, it's easy to be a believer. But when you're not feeling good and you're fighting and snot's flying, it's hard sometimes to believe that God's really in control of those things. Hold fast. Don't waver. Now here's the process. Think of this in your mind. Verse number 24. In addition to that, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. When we come, realize it this way or not, it may not dawn on you, but this is not about me. This is not about you. I'm not here for my pleasure. I'm not here to make you happy. I'm not here to somehow entertain you and keep your mind occupied for the few brief moments we have. I am here out of love for you to point you to Jesus Christ. That's why I'm here. See, I'm here to worship God, and one of the aspects of worshiping God is loving people. Guess why you're here this morning? To love people and point them to Jesus Christ. How easy is it to point people with a frown on your face? I don't like that song, and I ain't singing it. Mm-mm. Oh, how I love Jesus. Mm-mm. Not singing it. I don't like it. I don't like that beat. I don't like the way they're singing it, so I'm not going to sing it. Okay, you got a sister over there who's hurting bad, and she's desperately needing to see somebody love, and she's watching you as you got a sour look on your face because you don't want to sing the song. So who are you worshiping then? Well, Brother Brian, as long as we do what I'm comfortable with, and as long as it goes along with what I think, then I can worship. Okay, so it becomes about you and not about the one we're really supposed to worship. Can I share something with you this morning? It's just us here today. There's sometimes we sing songs that I don't like. You're the preacher. You're supposed to like everything. No, some of you like peanut butter and pickles. I don't like peanut butter and pickles. Does that make me wrong? Does that make you wrong? No. There's some things that I don't personally care for. Does that make it wrong? I love anything that points people to Jesus Christ. That's what this is all about. We're to provoke one another unto love. When you're hugging necks and you're shaking hands and you're looking out, how you doing? I tell you what, I heard that you were sick and that you're not doing too well. Can I help you? Can I pray for you? That's provoking unto love. That's showing somebody that you really care. See, we didn't just show up this morning, but God brought you here. And we ought to be going out of our way to find ways to be a blessing to somebody else. But unfortunately, we get in our comfort zone and we don't want to move from our spot in the pew when handshaking comes. Don't touch me. Don't talk to me. I'm comfortable right where I am. Don't ask me to do anything, because if you do, then that means I got to get out of my comfort zone. May I share something else with you? I'm being honest. I might as well keep on being honest with you this morning. I'm the most introverted person you'd ever meet. Ask my wife. when we go out to eat with people or whatever, I have got to force myself to talk because I'd rather just be by myself and let nobody talk to me, and I don't have to have a conversation whatsoever. I don't even have to grunt. I would rather just sit there and endure. That's my personality. You see, with Brother Brian, it don't seem like that this morning. Well, the thing is, it's not me. It's God giving me the strength to do it. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. See, I am here to love you and to point you to God, to provoke you to love God by my actions. Look what else it says here. It says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. I want you to use everything God's given to you to bring Him glory. I want you to sing if you can sing. I want you to sing even if you can't sing. I want you to teach if you can teach. I want you to fellowship if you can fellowship. I want you to give if you can give. I want you to cry if you can cry. I want you to shout amen if you can shout amen. I want you to breathe if you can breathe. I want you to do anything you can for good works to bring glory to God. Whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now listen, hold on a minute. Some of you are going to think I'm being blasphemous when I say this. Okay? So just forgive me if I say this to you. You don't only serve God in these four walls. You do more serving God outside these four walls than you do here. See, we just gather here to love each other and to provoke each other to love God so that we can go out there and love God. You love God in your homes by loving one another and serving one another. You love God where you cut hair. Brother Greg's a great barber. I highly recommend Brother Greg. If you're looking for a good barber, go see Greg Wright. I get a discount now. Amen. No, I'm just teasing. No, but Greg ought to cut hair for the glory of God because he loves people. Amen. All right, everything we do outside these four walls, that's serving God. And when we come here together, we're provoked to go and do that. But if you leave here feeling guilty, if you leave here feeling like you've been beat down, then how in the world can you leave here, go and serve God? My goal is not to beat you down. My goal is to lift you up and point you to Jesus Christ. Y'all follow me, say amen. Amen. All right. I want to make sure now. But look at the very next verse. This has been the one that has beat people upside the head, and it's made a lot of people hurt. Look what it says. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. There it is. I knew you'd get to that, Brother Brian. I knew you say that we got to come to church because if we don't come to church, God doesn't love us. And if we don't come to church, we're not a good Christian. Is that what it says there? Does it say in there that if you don't go to church, that God hates you? He simply says, don't avoid it. How many of you are glad that God does not forsake us? Praise God. But it says, don't you forsake each other. We need each other. I need you. I need to see you on Sundays and Wednesdays. I even need to see you on Thursdays at Ingles. I love running into folks outside of the church house. Man, I love it. Now, there's been times I've seen some of you, and you've run the other way because you didn't want to talk to me. And I get a kick out of doing this, wearing my jeans and a hoodie and a hat. And I walk by people, and I say, how are you doing? They look at me like, who are you? And I take my hat off, and I say, oh, it's Brother Brian. I'm not used to seeing you out of your uniform. Listen, I'm a human being just like you are. And I love to gather with believers. I love to cry with you. I love to laugh with you. I love to study the Bible with you. I love all of these aspects because I need it. That's what it means to not forsake the gathering of believers. Well, Brother Brian, I don't like coming on Sunday morning. I get drugged to church. And I don't want to be here because I'm here because I'm being made to come here. Can I please ask you to do this? Is change that attitude, because you're never going to get what God has intended for you if your attitude is that you don't want to be here. I wish my parents drugged me to church. They drugged me to the dentist. They drugged me to the doctor. They never had to drag me to a ball game. So why do we have to drag people to church? Because, Brother Brian, it's boring. You're the most boring preacher we've ever had in our lives. The music is so boring, Brother Brian. I can't stand it. Okay? If that's the case, then find some place that you can go and worship God. Are you asking us to leave? No. I'm asking you to change your attitude and say, I want to worship God, or find some place where you can worship God. That's the key. Wow. That's the key. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but instead exhorting one another. Why? Why do I want to exhort you? And so much the more as you see the day approaching. I believe the return of Jesus Christ for His church is right around the corner. I believe it is. Just reading Scripture. Now people say, well, Brother Brian, that's been preached for years. People preach that all the time, and they all the time, and it hasn't happened yet. Just because it hasn't happened yet doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Now, let me ask you a serious question. Serious question I can ask you this. Are you ready for Christ to return? Is Jesus Christ your Savior? Because if He is your Savior, then you are part of the body of Christ who will rise and meet Jesus in the clouds. If there's been a time in your life when you've admitted that you're a sinner and you've asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior and you meant it, the Bible says that you will be part of that rapture. But please pay attention to this. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, and the rapture does take place, and Christ does return for His church, you will not be part of that. You will be left behind. So I want to exhort you. I want you to live for Christ because of this, so that you can be part of what Christ is doing and is going to do. The day of judgment's coming. Are you ready for it? Are you ready for it? Yeah, some of you look kind of skeptical. Well, Brother Brian, what's that talking about? Well, let me show you. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 real quick. I wasn't going to share this with you, but God's just telling me to do this. The Holy Spirit speaking to me about doing this, so I'm going to show it to you. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. It's right before 2 Thessalonians. Find 2 Thessalonians, go left. Find the book of Colossians, go right. It's right there in the middle. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. This is the day that the book of Hebrews, the writer of the book of Hebrews, is talking about. This day right here. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, those who have died, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, how many of you believe that Jesus died and rose again? Okay. If you believe that, if you believe, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, by God's word here, that we, those who believe that Jesus died and rose again, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. We're not going to stop them from rising up. For the Lord Himself, shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Those who've trusted Christ as their Savior that have physically died, they will be taken up. That's what it says. And then it says, then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them. Those who have died will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. That's the comfort I can give you. That's the peace that I can give you. That's the day it's talking about. I want to exhort you. I want to help you. I want to love you. I want to point you to that day. I want you to understand and realize that we've gathered here this morning to sing songs and to pray and to give, all for one reason. That's to bring glory to God. And by bringing glory to God, we're pointing people to that day. Because if you're not part of that day, then you're left behind when the rapture takes place. And then you got to live through 7 years of hell on earth. The tribulation period. See, 2 Thessalonians says that if you deny Christ and the rapture takes place, you won't have a chance to receive Christ after that. A strong delusion will come upon you and you'll never be saved. So I want to exhort you. I want to urge you. Trust Christ now. Before it happens and it's too late. Let me show. I promised to show you this scripture, so I'm going to keep my promise. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Now, I've gotten in trouble these last 2 weeks because I've held you longer than 12 o'clock. And so I don't want my tires slashed. Verse number 10. Here's what Paul writes. He says, according to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereon. So Paul is using the analogy of a house builder. He says, I have laid the foundation for you. And as every person comes behind me, he says, they're going to build upon that foundation. See, as your pastor, I'm building on the foundation that Paul has established. And all those who've come before me, I'm building on their foundations. All right? And so Paul says, be careful how you do that. See, I don't want to add to the foundation and it becomes shaky. I want to give you a firm foundation, and the firm foundation is God's word. Look what else he says here now. He says, and take heed how you build thereon. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Nobody else can be firm like that. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold and silver and precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. Everything we do as a Christian is going to be shown. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. One day, we as Christians, everything we do will be revealed by fire. We'll be judged for it. If any man's work abide with he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. But if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so by fire. So in other words, everything that I do that brings glory to God, when the judgment fire comes, it will be left behind. Now, I'll still be saved. I'm still going to heaven. This is not talking about going to hell and going to heaven. This is just simply being judged what I've done as a Christian. So everything I've done to bring glory to God will be left behind. But everything that I did that didn't bring glory to God will be burned up. And so all I'll have left is the gold and silver and jewels that I brought glory to God with here. And then it says this, that I will then take those gold and silver and jewels and crowns, and I'll give them back to Jesus Christ. You say, that's kind of foolish. You earned those things. Why in the world would you give them to Jesus? Because Jesus has been the one that's made it possible for me to earn those things. See, I'll have my reward. I'll be in heaven where there's no parting. There's no sickness. There's no death. I'll be able to turn everything that I've done for him and give it back to him. You say, well, good. That's good, Brother Brian. Well, let me show you what else it says as it continues. Verse number 16. Know ye not, don't you understand, that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, dwells in you? He says, now listen, if you know Christ as your Savior, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you. You are the church. The church of Jada Roundy. Wow. The church of Tim Christian. The church of Jerry Waddell. The church of Dale Hoag. When you're out there in public, you are the church. If the Holy Spirit's living inside of you, what shape is your church in? Well, my church is kind of round. My church is balding. My church is aging. It is. But it says, don't you understand that you are the temple? That you are what the Holy Spirit lives in? Now look at this. Know you not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? And if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for that temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in the world, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of the world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he that takes wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. Here it is. And you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. You don't belong to yourself. This building does not belong to me. It belongs to us. This building does not belong to me. This building belongs to him. And I'm to be the church everywhere I go. And so are you. So are you. Miss Teresa, you're to be the church when you go see your mom at the nursing home. You're to be the church. You are. Jonathan, you're to be the church even when you're on that computer helping the missionaries all over the world. You're to be the church. Brother Gary, you're to be the church when you're up there putting handcuffs on people. You're to be the church. Brother Roger, you're to be the church when you're taking care of your wife and feeding her dinner and making the home all nice and clean. Amen? Amen. We're to be the church. So let me ask you, what type of church are you? What type of church are you? When you leave here, you're still the church. So let's not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, because that makes us strong, loving one another. The church. Amen? Let's all stand together this morning. See, I didn't go hardly past 12 at all. Your time is valuable, and I don't ever want to take that for granted. I appreciate you being here. But let me challenge you this morning. Number one, first challenge. Is Jesus Christ your Savior? Are you part of the church, the universal church? Is Jesus Christ your Savior? If he's not, today's the day. Today's the day that you admit that, hey, I'm a sinner. I need Jesus Christ to save me. I want to be part of what God's doing. But here's the second part. If you're part of the church, what type of church are you? Are you representing Christ the way he wants you to represent him? I'm not talking about just coming here on Sunday mornings. I'm talking about, what are you doing out there for him? That's the church. That's the church. Well, Brother Brian, you can't judge me. I'm not judging you. I'm exhorting you to be the church. To be the church. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you know our hearts. Lord, I thank you for using this broken vessel to share your word. Lord, sometimes I feel like I failed to do it. But Lord, I thank you that it's not about me or what I feel. It's about what your word clearly teaches. I pray for these precious souls in here this morning. I pray, Heavenly Father, that if there's someone here that does not have the Spirit of God living inside of them, they've never truly placed their faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for salvation. I pray that today would be that day. If it's a young person, if it's an older person, whoever it is, may today be that day of salvation for them. But also, Father, for my brothers and sisters in Christ who walk with me in you, may we desire to be the church wherever we are, whenever we are. You're the only hope we have, and we look forward to your soon return. For it's in the precious name of Jesus Christ I ask these things. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Whatever your need is this morning, salvation, baptism, church membership, whatever it is, won't you come? Won't you come? I'll meet you right down here. Won't you come?